Hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Father's Love Healing Through Heartache. It is Chris and Dan back again, and we are thankful for you joining us and listening to our show tonight. Chris, it's good to see you, my friend.
As always, brother, good to see you again.
So Chris and I, as we discussed in our first episode, this season's a little different. We are working on a two-week schedule. So just a new episode every week. We want to encourage everybody to go back to our first couple seasons if you find what we're talking about helpful. Take those off weeks and go back and listen from the beginning. We're also going to try really hard this season to review our first two seasons for those of you who are new listeners, new on this journey of grief, just to kind of give you a real quick summary of some of the things we've talked about, and then just follow up on those and how we're doing. So tonight, we want to take a few minutes just to kind of review if we looked at our grief in terms of years, what each of those years brings. So Chris, I'll turn it over to you. Year one of losing Mason compared to year two and so on. Can you talk about what each year was like?
Yeah, I mean, I think coming out the bat, thinking about it, year one is such a blur now. Like, it's really, there's so much pain, so much grief, so much agony, so much hopelessness that you really don't know how to keep going. Just getting up out of bed, it was so difficult. And then for us, moving right away and going back to work and all those things that you have to do to survive. Boy, was I in zombie mode that first year. I was just barely kicking, to be honest with you. It was really hard. Work was hard. A lot of just breakdown crying out of nowhere. So the first year, super, super hard and super blurry. Like, as I try to think about it now, I don't remember a lot of things. I remember key things. I remember Mason's first birthday, of him not being here, all the first holidays, but everything else in between, totally lost. Like, I can't even remember what happened. And then as we moved into the second year, that relief of the first year being over kind of felt good, in a sense, like we made it through all the major holidays. We made it through his birthday. I don't know how we did, but somehow we did. And, you know, a glimmer of hope, in the sense that we made it through the first year. We need to keep pushing as a family for the other boys to keep them going. Second year was still really hard. I've heard from other grieving parents that sometimes the second year is even harder than the first year, because you start coming out of that daze of the first year, the haze of it all, and you start to realize more what's lost. For me, I don't think that was the case. I started improving a little bit in the second year. I remember a lot of what happened during the second year. I remember going to work and having successes and stuff like that. And even the boys starting to get on a better routine again and everything like that. So the second year was definitely an improvement from the first year. And I would say now that we're past our second year and we're about 2.5 years in now, you know, I will never say that I'm better. I'm not. You know, even today I had a really bad meltdown at work. Just me in my office, closed the door. I'm getting ready for my Air Force retirement, and I'm writing my retirement speech that I'm going to say. And I couldn't keep it in. I wrote a little section that I was going to say to Mason at my ceremony, and I just I burst out. I had tears pouring down my eyes, you know. But even with that sense, I can at least focus now at work. I can pay attention at work. I can get a productive member at work. I could turn it off if I need to. You know, I had that cry. I wiped my face, and then I opened my door back up, and I was ready to go for work. So, you know, there's a progression. At least I went through a progression of a fog and a daze to you know, coherent of what was going on to now I'm a functioning human again. You know, we're all human and we're going to have those bad days for sure, but I'm trying to look at more of the positives of the future than the negatives of the past. So that's my first 2.5 years, Dan.
I agree with a lot of what you said. Yeah, the first year, yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I don't remember so much about it. It's a blur. But yeah, you can pick out the key events. I remember clearly not remembering anything when I went back to school. Just you tell me a date that we're having a meeting or something is due or whatever. I drove my colleagues crazy because I was in there all the time. It's like, I know you emailed this. I know you've said this 20 times already, but I don't remember. And thankfully, I had a couple colleagues that were very much filled with grace and just, we get it. Here you go. That was a big help. I think for me, year one was, yeah, it was the shock of it all. I think I had a healthy distraction in Jameson Joy starting so quickly. It took a lot of time that otherwise would have been filled with me just sitting there thinking more about the pain. And it got me thinking about the memories and the good, some of the good that maybe was coming out of it. So I think that helped in that sense. But year two actually for me was harder. I think that's where the first year distractions, all that grief that I didn't process fully in year one, hit me hard in year two. And year two is where I really started to see he's gone. That shock wears off and you're more into that day-to-day functioning and you can function a lot better. But God, everything I'm doing now is without him. And so year two was definitely harder for me. And year three and four, I think, are kind of blending together. And I think I'm just lost. I can go to work. I can function. I can function at home. But I don't feel like I know where I'm going with life anymore. And it's not necessarily pain or anything like that. I just like, okay, I'm here. I'm going through the motions of work. I'm going through the motions with my family, but I don't really know where I'm going. So I feel like I'm in a desert wandering around.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, you know, us parents that have lost children, we're the only ones that really can understand this. You know, when you lose a spouse or you lose a parent or a grandparent, there is always that feeling of loss for sure. But when you lose a child, you literally lose a piece of your heart, your soul. There's something missing from you and it's gone forever. No matter how, it's not coming back, no matter how much you want it to come back. And learning to adjust to that is probably one of the most difficult parts of losing a child, besides obviously missing them and wanting them back, is, you know, I don't know about you, Dan, but for me, it just feels like a piece of my heart is literally missing and I'm not running at full capacity because of it. I can't. It's like impossible now, no matter what I do.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked, I talked recently, we had our grief retreat, which we can talk more about. But that's one of the things another parent said, and I agree completely. It's like everything my family does now, as awesome as it can be, it's only 3/4 of the awesome it could be. And for you, it's 5/6. Yep. Like everything we do, every family outing we go on is amazing. What great memories we're building with our wives and our kids who are still here. But it's only 3/4 for me and 5/6 for you. And it could be so much better.
Yeah, I mean, even a simple trip to a grocery store can be so difficult. You know, going through and find Mason's favorite snacks are still there as I walk past them. I think about them every time, you know, or going through clothing. You know, Carson, my little guy, he's about the same age that Mason was when he passed. And So they're in about the same size clothing now. And, you know, as I'm going, as we're going through clothing, picking it out for Carson, I'm like, man, Mason would really love this. You know, even those minute little adulting details become even worse because of it. And it just makes it so much more difficult. But, you know, I don't want it to seem like all hope is lost. I still think, like, I do have good moments with my wife and my kids. And even though I do think about Mason, I do think about the new memories that we are creating as well and how that's affecting the boys and hopefully giving them a positive outlook on the future as well, in that sense. Like, Dan, I know you and your family, you guys recently went to New York City, and I'm sure Reese loved that. I'm sure that was an amazing memory that he'll have forever. And I'm sure it was extremely hard not having Jamesons there, but man, that's still going to be an amazing memory for the whole family.
And it was, yep, it was. It's a trip we have talked about for years, and we were waiting for the boys to get old enough to truly appreciate it, on a tourist level, but also the historical level. And we had an absolutely fantastic time. Seeing Reese so excited about so many things was great. But again, yeah, there's always that element of somebody's missing from our fun. Somebody's missing from our fun. And yep, that won't ever go away. I don't have any advice to give anybody on that other than, like you just said, just trying to focus on the positives as much as we can. And I think that's all we can do.
Yeah, I mean, you have to find, everyone will have to find what works for them and for their family. You know, we just happen to, I've talked about the pennies for Mason that we find, and just so happens every time we're doing something super important, we find a penny on the ground and we think that's Mason's sign telling him, telling us he's here with us. You know, we carry that penny around with us the whole time then. And that's what works for me. That's what works for our family. Everyone will have to find what works for the, what works best for them though, of course. Yep.
So Chris, can you answer the question that probably every grieving parent has when they first lose their child of, how am I going to get through this? I can't. How is it ever going to get better?
Yeah, wow. I mean, that is probably one of the hardest questions, right? It comes back to that piece of your heart is missing, and you're like, how am I going to function? How am I going to keep going? For us dads, right? How are we going to be strong for our family but still deal with our grief and our sadness and our loss? And there is so much piled on your shoulders when that stuff happens. It feels impossible. Like you're never going to get out of the abyss. You're in that ocean. You know, we've talked about that deep ocean. You're in a giant storm on a boat far out in the ocean, and you're like, I'm not going to make it. There's just no way. It's impossible. But with time, I can honestly say that time has not healed my wounds by any means, but has definitely dulled the pain. Like we said before, I have good moments. I laugh. I have fun moments with my kids, fun moments with my wife, fun moments with friends. And it is possible. You have to open up your heart to it, though, as well. Okay, let's be honest here. When you lose your kid, you lose a lot of hope in life overall. And it's probably pretty easy to stay in that mindset forever if you really want to. Dan has talked about it before, where people on social media groups would say 20, 30 years later, I'm just as sad as the day I lost my son. I'm not. I mean, I'm sad. Don't get me wrong. But I have good moments. I don't want to be miserable forever. And I 100% know Mason would not want that for me. He wouldn't want me to be miserable, you know, grieving every single moment of every single day. What good is that doing to anyone? I got to take that negative energy and put it into a positive by either making my wife happy, making my kids happy, making myself happy, working on our nonprofit, all those things that make me happy. I think Mason appreciates in the long run. So how about you, Dan? How did it work out for you?
Yeah, I think, for me, it's that purposeful one step at a time that Dennis talked about last season. And it's hard. It is absolutely hard. And there's days it's impossible. But I think First of all, you need to commit to your marriage. We've discussed that before. You've already lost a child. Don't lose your marriage and your family on top of your child. And that's so easy to say, but have that discussion with your spouse right away that, you know what, divorce is not an option. We're going to fight. And then learn how to work together to support each other while taking care of yourself. I think, Chris said, there's happy moments now. The moments of crying, like Chris had one earlier today, and I know you probably don't believe us if you're just weeks or a couple months into it. We get it. We were there. But yes, truly, you will take a few steps at a time, and you will get to the point where the cries are generally not as intense. You'll still have some pretty major ones, probably forever, but you'll be able to recover quicker from them. A lot of them might be shorter, less intense, but also the recovery time will be a whole lot quicker. So I think that is something that will come. But I think another commitment you need to make right off the bat is to get help. And again, whatever that means to you, get help. And that's why this show is what does that for Chris and me. At least one thing that does that for Chris and me. We've shared that a million times. Even if nobody else listens to it and nobody else gets impacted by it, we have each other that we can talk about, and you can learn that, hey, what you're feeling is normal. It could be therapy. It could be somebody at work. It could be a hobby. Again, whatever. But make that commitment to get help in whatever way you define that so that you can constantly take one more step at a time and then just keep reevaluating them as you go. And change what you need to so you can always keep taking one more step.
Yeah, and, you know, be open to having people help you. A lot of times in these difficult times, sometimes people become kind of hermits or recluses. You know, they want to hide away, not let people help them. I think Dan and I, we've talked about it. At the beginning, you're going to get a ton of help. People want to help and take it. Take every little bit of it and don't feel guilty in the slightest about it. Whatever people want to do, you let them do, because one day you'll repay the favor when you're in a better mindset. That's how we work as families and friends. So take every bit of help you can get, and it'll help you in the long run, because you need those times to grieve. You need those times to cry. Like Dan said, I remember my first couple weeks, I was crying so hard. My face was like swollen. My eyes were swollen. I was crying so much. It was absolutely horrendous. So difficult. And it was weird though, because when I let the cry out, I felt better. When I got composure again, I did feel better. Like I released the tension of the sadness, you know. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Dan, or not. So I encourage people now, like if you're a dad or you're, you know, some macho man, you can cry. Yeah. You just lost your child. There's nothing wrong with it. No one's going to judge you differently for it. Dan and I have both met dads that they have not cried since they lost their child, because they have this sense that they have to remain strong for everyone. You know what? You can't be strong for everyone if you don't take care of yourself. Letting that cry out, boy, it makes a difference. And that's why even today when I need to let that cry out, I let it out. It sucked while it was happening. I had a rush of good memories of Mason as I was getting ready for, you know, my retirement and thinking about it. But once it was all done, I felt better. I felt like a little sense of relief, like, okay, I got that one out. I made it through another one. So I don't know if you've had any of those, Dan, or not.
Yeah, I've had a ton of them, and I agree with what you said. Like, and we'll say it right directly to the men. Cry, it helps. Talk to people, it helps. Ask for help, it helps. Put the man cards away for this, because you need to lean on those people who are strong enough to carry you through this, because it is the most difficult thing most of us can ever dream about going through, and we're in it.
And I would say that, you know, taking care of yourself in that sense, that helps you be a better provider for your wife and for your children who are also dealing with grief. And I'm not saying there's any kind of timeline and like you want to be the first one that's feeling better, but I know in my family, I was the first one that started to get my mind in a better sense. And by doing that, I was able to get our family in a routine again and get them moving in the right direction again, as difficult as it was. But I was also able to help them and comfort them. It just worked out a lot better with that sense, because I was willing and open to get the help I needed, cry when I needed to, and realize I wasn't alone in it overall.
Absolutely. So, Chris, let's lead right into a statement that's been on my mind for a long time is, I want to heal, but we've talked numerous times about when Mason and Jameson first passed, and just with any death, people flock to the funeral and they're all over providing meals and everything. And for the first 2 weeks, you've got actually too much support sometimes, too much food. And after a month or two, at some point, most people go back to their lives, which we understand that you have to. But that island of loneliness comes a lot quicker than we feel like it needs to sometimes. And yeah, I don't know, about a year ago, roughly, it just really started hitting me that I want to heal, but I'm scared that if I laugh, people are going to think that I'm healed and they're going to stop remembering Jameson. I want to heal, but if I have too much fun on a family vacation, again, all these things that are going to make either myself feel guilty or make other people think, oh, good, he doesn't need us anymore. We can go back to our regular lives. What are your thoughts on things like that?
Yeah, I think it's real natural feeling, to be honest. For me, I want to heal, but it does come down to the memory of Mason, and I don't want it forgotten about. And the only way to not forget about it is to bring up that he passed. And by doing that, I open a scar or I open a wound every single time, right? Because I got to mention, got to talk about him, right? So, or to talk about him, I got to tell the story of what happened and how it happened. You know, I just had a coworker the other day, like, came up to me and said, hey, listen, I just never heard the story of what happened to your son. And if you're comfortable, I'd love to hear it, you know? And I told her the whole story. And it was hard. I've told the story a lot now. Every single time it hurts. And so those are the kinds of things. Like, I want to get better, but I don't want people to ever forget about Mason or forget that our family is going through this. You know, I think, like Dan said, it's easy. We have those good moments where we have fun or we laugh or we post a picture on social media and it looks like we're all hunky-dory happy. A lot of times they're, for at least the adults, they're fake smiles that we're just getting through the moment. You know, I think for sure when I look at family pictures and I know that Mason's not in there, it's such a gut-wrenching feeling. It makes it hard to get to that point where I think I can heal. You know, I want to heal, like you said, but man, it's so hard. And I think I've come to the realization for me, I'm going to have happy moments. I don't know if my life will ever be happy the way it was before.
Right.
I'll definitely have happy moments in the future. I know that. I want to have those happy moments. But when you lose a piece of your heart, it's almost impossible to recover completely. And I've come to terms with that. I know that that's how my life will be. So how about you, Dan?
Yeah, I agree with all that. It's all about the memory of Jameson, and I need something every single day to remember that I have a second son. He's not here with us physically, but he existed here, and he exists up in heaven, and I don't want to forget him, and I don't want people to forget him. And I want people on his birthday to say happy birthday to him. I want people on first day of seventh grade or whatever it is to say, hey, I'm thinking of you. I know that you're missing your boy. Just everything. We've discussed it before. I think that's one of the hardest things, is that it seems like most people have gone back to their lives and have forgotten Jameson and forgotten us. And again, we understand totally that you all need to go back to your lives, but our lives are still here, and we struggle regularly through the happy moments. And yes, every smile, laugh, positive memory we post on Facebook, whatever, yes, they were good things, but there is always that scar that somebody was missing through it. So don't forget our loved ones. I had somebody recently, again, I walked in on Monday morning to work, and we did the standard, hey, how's it going? And my standard answer is, I'm okay. And because if I say anything like I'm good, then right away they're, oh, great, you're good. Not true. Your good is different than my good. So I purposely say it in kind of a negative tone, because that's how I feel usually, but also I don't want to give that false impression that life is all good. And her response was something basically of, what's wrong with you? Why are you not happy? It's like, well, because I'm walking into school with one of my sons. I should be walking in with two of my sons. And it never goes away. But that was, it's hurtful. Again, just, they know the story, but it's been forgotten. And we should be all recovered from it, or something's wrong with us. And I don't like that.
Yeah, and the hard part is like, you were trying to actually kind of be nice, because you're like, meh, okay. You know, like, you weren't, you could have been like, yeah, this sucks, I don't want to be here. You know, you could have been really negative about it, but you're like, meh, I'm okay, you know. And but it's funny how, you know, people that haven't dealt with the grief or the loss, they don't understand how long the feelings last and how deep it is and how much it hurts. So, sorry, of course, you had to go through that. And
yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever reach everyone, you know, in that sense, but yeah, we got to keep pushing forward and letting people know and understand why we're just meh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do it.
And a different side of that is that holds us back from truly healing, because I would love to be able to, when somebody asks, hey, how you doing? If I'm having a good moment, I would love to be able to say, you know what? I'm great at this moment. I'm great. I'm afraid to do that, because again, then are we going to give that perception that we're over it? And then is that person going to stop caring, stop loving on us, whatever it is? But as long as I have that wall up, that guard up, it's going to hold me back from taking a few more steps toward healing. So it's like a double-edged sword of, I mean, how do you, I want to heal. Yeah. I want to have those great moments. I want to be able to express them, but there's only a few people that I can truly express that to who will be, you know what? I'm glad you're having this moment. I know it's temporary.
Exactly.
So yeah, I wish I could just freely take steps openly.
Yeah. So for those that are listening, you know, this is kind of your opportunity, if you lost a loved one, like, to kind of just have that conversation with yourself and say, hey, I want to be happy, I want to heal, but, and maybe you can identify what's stopping you in that sense. Maybe it's something in your control, maybe it's not. if it's something in your control that you think you could change to make your life better, make your family's life better, you know, change is not a bad thing always. Change can be a good thing. Being uncomfortable to make yourself better can be a good thing as well. So some things to consider, you know, I think that, again, I wouldn't think that our loved ones would want us to have such a negative outlook on the future with it. And that's what keeps me going to try to be positive is I know Mason would not want that. I just know he would, because that's not what kind of kid he was. And I know Jameson wouldn't want that either. So for me, that's what pushes me forward. For those that are listening, you got to find what can push you forward to the next level.
Yeah. So Chris, what do you think? Can you pinpoint one? Hopefully you can pinpoint many, but can you pinpoint one thing that you really can look back at on the last 2.5 years and say, there's a big step I've taken in my healing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest step was probably in my career. When I switched jobs from firefighting over to a different office where I wouldn't be a firefighter anymore. And it was something that part of me did not want to do. I really didn't want to do it because I love being a firefighter. But part of me wanted to do it because I knew my family needed it. I knew they needed me the stability. I knew I couldn't work shift anymore. I knew they needed me home every night. And it was a big jump. And I was afraid when I did it. I didn't know if it was the right choice. And now that I'm 1.5 years into that job, I couldn't be happier. I love the job. It was a great move. It did everything it was supposed to do. And I'm happy I made that change. In the difficulties of, you know, when I made that change, it was only about 1 year after. It was about 1 year after losing Mason. So still really, really fresh, still really on my mind. But it really gave me that opportunity to heal even more, because I didn't have the stressful. Being in a firehouse is stressful. You're dealing with emergencies. You're dealing with lots of different personalities, different people. And making this job change really was for the best. And I'm happy I made that. I took that chance overall. So what about you, Dan?
I think for me, the biggest thing is my relationship with Reese. I have been very fearful of that for the entire almost 4 years that Jameson's been gone, because it's hard. It's really hard, as we've discussed numerous times, just continuing to be a good husband and a good father. And I know I have failed miserably so many times with giving Reese what he needs. And he's been luckily so graceful as well. And we've had some really good talks lately that show me that I haven't messed up beyond anything that can't easily be fixed in our relationship, which is good. But it's not easy, but I'm taking those intentional steps to try to reconnect in a new way with him so that he knows that he is loved, he is important, and he's not forgotten either. It's so easy to focus so much on the child that we've lost here on earth that we lose the rest of our children too, because we neglect them and their needs. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do, but we've got to make sure that we continue investing in their lives as well.
No, yeah, I agree 100%. I couldn't have said it better myself, Dan. I think, you know, that first year is, the sadness is so deep that your kids are also floundering on their own because you can't even focus. So I'm glad that you and Reese are able to get that connection again and talking again. And I think that kind of rolls in pretty well with what Jameson's Joy did recently, if you want to kind of give the audience an update of how their treat went, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we were fortunate, honored. A couple weeks ago, we had our first family grief retreat. This was Erica's baby from the beginning. She has supported Jameson's Joy and everything we were doing from day one, but she just hasn't been ready to really be actively involved in it until maybe a year ago. Because it's hard. Again, you're seeing your kid's name on shirts and stuff, and we should be seeing our kid's name on school papers with grades on them and things like that. But the one thing that she's wanted to do from early on is organize a family grief retreat. And she had it all set, and then COVID hit. So it just kind of, it delayed it. And so we were thrilled. We were able to have it here thanks to Earthshine Lodge up in Lake Toxaway. They were wonderful hosts for us. We had tons of people in the community that donated all our food and snacks and beverages for the weekend. And we had a few families up here who have lost their young children. All the families that were attended were within, they're in their first 2 years. And the biggest things I think that came out of it were, again, you're normal. Whatever you are going through is not unique. It feels like maybe you're the only person in the world going through it, but when you get together with other people going down this same path as you, you're going to learn very quickly that that emotion, that terrible thought, that whatever it is normal. And that was the best conversation I had with one of the dads, as he was just sharing his journey, and I was able to say, as somebody farther down the road than he is, that, yep, been there over and over again. You can just see it takes some weight off their shoulders and helps. There were a lot of tears, like Chris said, and like you saw if you watched episode one, that we can tell our stories 100 times and we might get through it 99 times without a tear. And that 100th time can just wreck us, because whatever we're going through at that time, but also every time you tell it, it's different. There's some little nugget that you remember that you previously forgot, or that for whatever reason, that little nugget's the important part of telling the story today. So we had a lot of tears as we shared our stories and shared our memories and our pictures of the kids. There was a lot of yelling and screaming, especially from the family that was freshest on joining this journey. But again, we were all able to look at them and put our arms around them and say, yep, that's normal. So it was a really nice weekend that helped everybody there take a few steps forward. We were super thrilled that each family, the father came as well. We had received so many notes from mothers who said, my husband won't come. So again, I want to keep hitting that point to all the guys listening, especially, that get help, reach out to somebody and talk, find those people that can help carry you, because you can't do this on your own and make any real progress. So, but it was a really beautiful weekend, and I use the term beautiful very carefully. Those of you who are on this journey, you know what I mean. And those of you who are not on this journey, are beautiful is not the same as you're beautiful. So.
Yeah, no, great way to put it. And I'm sure lifelong friends now. I have no doubt in my mind that these people will be in your life forever. You'll support them. They will support you. And that's what it's all about, is helping each other in the long run. And
yeah.
So happy that you guys had success with that. And I look forward to the next one, because I should be out of the military and finally be able to make it.
And I think I just thought of one other key thing in people getting help. Like, Chris and I have connected really well because Mason and Jameson were super close in age. Two of the families at the retreat are both Germans, from Germany. So they immediately had that bond. And yes, we're all connected for life and we will stay in touch. But these two families have that extra special connection that they can share their German culture and traditions and how they grieve and all that stuff with. It's just nobody is going to understand exactly what you're going through, because all our stories are different. All our relationships with our kids are different. But Chris and I have that one little extra helper, and that Mason and Jameson. We're both boys who love sports, and we're so close in age, and it's going to help us that much more. These two families have that German connection, and it's going to help them that much more. And again, that wouldn't happen if we didn't make ourselves vulnerable and reach out for that help that we all so desperately need, so that we can find those connections that help us take a step forward.
Yeah, and hats off again to Jameson's Joy and to Erica and to you for putting it all together. I mean, that wouldn't have happened if you guys didn't put that hard work and dedication in, again, to helping others, making the world better through your grief and your sadness, you know, wanting to make things better for others, not just yourself as well. So good on you guys. Congratulations on a successful event. And again, I really am excited for the next one to hopefully get to that.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully next year's bigger and better.
Yeah, I hope so. I have no doubt, because I'm assuming, like with anything you do with the first one, you got some growing pains, you learn some stuff, and then you're going to keep improving yeah, every single year. So I'm sure that's exactly how it went down for you guys. And the pictures I saw looked amazing. Looked like you guys had a ton of fun. Beautiful area. Overall, just from an outsider looking in, it looked like it went really well. So congrats to you guys all.
Thanks.
Well,
any final thoughts? I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I to those that are listening, Dan and I are here to help any way we can. We want to help other people. It gives us joy in seeing others realize their feelings, their emotions, especially those dads that are struggling, or moms. I mean, if there's some moms struggling too, hey, we're here to help everyone that we possibly can. So, you can reach out to us on social media. Reach out to us on our email addresses. Mine is chris@milesformasonmemorial.com. Dan's is info@jamesonsjoy.org for the email address. We're on normal social media, Facebook, Instagram, all the normal stuff. Reach out if you really have a question, concern, or if maybe you want to just meet somebody else that's going through what you're going through. And we don't even have to talk about what we talked about on our podcast. You just need a person to talk to that's been through it about whatever. Hey, hit us up. We're here to help. We're here to. Dan and I have met so many people and talked to so many different people now that have all, we just have that connection of grief. And every time we talk, we don't talk about grief. That's just not how it works. So it's just that bond that you form, that instant bond. So reach out if you need us.
Yeah.
Dan?
And it's so important. Chris has done it. Me being a school teacher, the last month has been extremely busy for me as I start the new year. And Chris has been really good about reaching out every couple days. If he doesn't hear from me, hey, you good? And yeah, I'm good. I'm just swamped with school. He's like, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. It's hard, but you need to reach out and make those connections so that you have people that will check up on you and make sure you're okay. And then have those people that you can just call and say, you know what, I'm a mess today. And again, Chris and I offer it, I think, every show. Just, we are honored to listen. If you need to write or call and ask us questions, tell us about your kid, shout about how unfair it is, just cry, whatever, we would be honored to listen and help meet you wherever you are and try to carry you those next few steps. But whether it's us or whoever, find somebody that you feel safe reaching out to help.
You know, one last thing I like to keep throwing out is like the mental health aspect of it all. If you need help with anything, or you're thinking about suicide or anything like that, please reach out. There's the new 988 phone number, just like 911. You call 988, it's going to get you on the line, on the phone with somebody that can help you out. And those first couple days, weeks, you're not the same person you originally were, and you're thinking differently, and you might be thinking about some crazy things. Call that number, get some help, okay? So that's my last plug, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us, as always. And as we just said, if you have any questions, comments, we would love the feedback. Just leave us a comment, shoot us an email. But we appreciate your time. We know it's valuable, but we hope it's helpful. And we look forward to seeing you again in 2 more weeks with the next episode of A Father's Love, Healing Through Heartache.